Utah Foundation researchers took an inventory of the general plans required of local governments around the state and assessed how they address the needs of seniors in their communities. Some are quite detailed and recently updated. Others pass by the issue with barely a mention.
This report really hits home for all of us because hopefully we all enjoy the privilege of aging.
You're listening to Utah Thrives, the Utah Foundation podcast. I'm Dan Bomas. Utah Foundation research analyst Ashley Marshall Cantor found that 83% of the county plans mention aging, only 31% had specific strategies meant to support their older populations. Of the state's 258 municipalities, 193 had general plans, 153 of those mentioned aging. About half included detailed discussions, and she found some that had remarkable and unique ideas.
So under the umbrella topic of community leader action, Vernal encouraged job growth in their senior services sector, which, as I'm sure you all know, there's definitely a lack of providers to help seniors age, help with those services. So that provides not only services for seniors, but expands opportunities for job seekers. Under connections, one thing that Draper did that was neat was they were encouraging senior housing and community facilities to do programming together, and that encouraged seniors to have multi-generational connections with younger folks, and that really decreases social isolation, which older adults are more vulnerable to. Our third umbrella topic is housing, which there's a lot in housing. But one that I want to highlight today was Sandy. Sandy encouraged internal and external ADU development, and they had this dashboard which shows the different regions in Sandy and what their capacity to build ADUs could be. And that was a really cool resource that I saw. For transportation, our fourth, a bunch of Hurricane, Grand County, and White City encouraged accessible transit options, which not only helps seniors, but that increases accessibility, burden on caretakers, and just helps everybody get around, which is so great. The last one that we looked at was healthcare. Again, lots of things here. Brigham City encouraged providing pharmacies in central locations so that seniors can more easily get to their pharmacies. They also have this recommendation that pharmacists could be the ones screening for social isolation. Christopher, when he read my initial draft, thought that meant pharmacists were going to become the seniors' friends. And he was like, that's putting too much on the pharmacists, guys. We can't have pharmacists sign up to be friends. but using them as a screener to then refer them to aging services or community resources is a really great idea.
Ashley presented the report to a group of Utah Foundation board members and leaders of agencies that provide services to their local aging populations. In the roundtable discussion that followed, Jimmy Golding with the Mountain Land Association of Governments pointed out that the plans, however well-intentioned, need to be followed up with action.
Even when these plans are created, you know, the ones that have concrete, you know, plans, they're still the implementation.
Yes.
You know, and that implementation is so huge, you know, because that's still going to require a lot of steps to actually make sure the needs are being met to kind of fill some of those gaps that maybe we don't think about on a general level.
The needs of older residents, including housing, healthcare, transportation, and social connection, are mentioned in the plans. But Paul Leggett, the Director of Aging and Adult Services for Salt Lake County, says there's one very serious need that must not be overlooked.
And when you look at the food insecurity numbers for Utah, we are the state with the highest number of deaths due to malnutrition in the 65 plus community in the nation, which is ridiculous. It is completely unacceptable in a well-resourced state that we have older adults dying due to malnutrition. Now, that's an oversimplification, but that is what is listed on their death certificate, is malnutrition is the cause of death. And in Salt Lake County, for example, it is for the first time ever in the top 10 causes. Top 10 makes it sound like a positive thing, but in the top 10 causes of death for older adults is malnutrition. That blows my mind, because we have a Meals on Wheels program. Every county has Meals on Wheels or some form of senior dining, either at the senior centers in the congregate dining program. the solutions exist. There is not, we don't have to be even creative to solve the problem. We just have to fund the solution that has worked for decades and decades.
Several of the participants talked about how planning with older residents in mind for things such as more accessible housing and accessory dwelling units benefits everyone. Christopher Collard is Utah Foundation's research director.
Most of these policies, like we're talking about them in how they benefit older Utahns, but most of them are just going to benefit the population in general. Mm-hmm. If we have more ADUs, that's going to benefit younger people too, with more affordable housing. You know, if we have pharmacies in central locations, that's going to help everybody. If we have walkable communities, that helps everybody. If we have, you know, if we have homes that are built with kind of universal accessible design principles, like that's certainly going to help people with accessibility issues. But again, that's kind of a benefit for everyone. I would love to have a bathroom on the main level of my house, you know, and not just because that's convenient. So a lot of these issues, like right now we're talking about them in kind of this, these are issues that would benefit an aging mm-hmm. population. But a lot of these issues would just promote our general quality of life.
Several of the participants told family stories, some about how support from the community helped them care for aging parents. Utah Foundation President Sean Tigan acknowledged that some decisions, for example, when to give up driving, are very difficult.
That was the impetus for some conversations that my sister and I have had with my parents, mm-hmm. and they're not being very flexible about it. They're not being very open to the idea of maybe taking a step somewhere. So maybe it's still hard to maybe make that transition early into some sort of other more comfortable, perhaps, living experience.
Paul Leggett reminded the group that while the community can provide resources and help for its aging residents, it can't be telling them what to do. He says that needs to be reflected in the plans.
One of the things that's really important in all of these conversations is to remember that older adults still have choice. That we don't get to prescribe how older adults should age. We don't get to prescribe, well, that house is too big, you should be in a smaller house, or now is the time to downsize. That what we need to do are create communities that give opportunities and options to older adults that support them in their own goals around aging. And I think that's quite a shift in how we've talked about older adults in the past.
On average, the general plans for cities and counties that were studied for this report date back to 2011. Ashley Marshall Cantor says about half of these have been updated in the past decade. We'll end where we began, with a recognition that eventually all of us will need the services included in these plans for ourselves and those we love.
We all are aging. We all have aging people around us, aging family members, parents, in-laws, grandparents. And this report really hits home for all of us because hopefully we all enjoy the privilege of aging.
The report, Preparing for Utah's Aging Population, a General Plan Inventory, is available on our website, utahfoundation.org. You'll also find reports on dozens of topics and past editions of this podcast, Utah Thrives. Utah Foundation is a private, nonprofit research organization with the mission to inform and engage Utahns with illuminating, independent, nonpartisan public policy research. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Bonas.